Hi, I'm Dr. Pamela Peake, and welcome to episode 144 of HER, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and now redefining her beauty. Oh, this is going to be such a special episode. Just know that it's made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode and rate and review this because I love your feedback. Live for it, actually. All right, it's time for HER.
HER. The podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind. Her body. Her life. It's all about HER.
I'm going to tell you something. I have been so looking forward to this episode, and we have such a special guest. It's all about really redefining beauty. Yeah. I know you've read about this a million times. People are always redefining. What the heck is beauty anyway? Because it seems like as women, it's sort of shoved up our noses in definitions that make absolutely no sense to us and seem kind of, well, not authentic and not real. Well, we have an expert in the field of redefining beauty, award-winning fashion photographer, Andrea Beluso. Oh my gosh, just absolutely amazing. He is creative. He's an empowerment coach and certified facilitator of Right Voice for You, a specialty program of access consciousness. For over 30 years, Beluso has worked as a photographer and video producer, capturing iconic fashion names such as one of my all-time favorites, Linda Evangelista, Christy Turlington, who I happen to know and is just an amazing person, and Naomi Campbell. He has created his own modeling agency, fashion magazine, international model competition, and a television program that was distributed in 54 countries. Through his work at House of Beluso and Access Consciousness, Beluso facilitates seminars, lectures, workshops all around the world, empowering individuals into a more powerful form of creativity and a more authentic sense of self. Andrea, welcome to our fabulous podcast.
Thank you very, very much, Pamela. Really nice to be on your show.
Well, you know, one of the things that really captured me was this. The minute I saw this, you know, I'm kind of sensitive to this for a very, very interesting reason. That's why I immediately hopped on the opportunity to interview you. My mother was discovered, as it were, when she was actually an undergraduate at Loyola University in Chicago. And she was her ultimate dream was to become a lawyer, which she did. But someone from the House of Dior saw her as she was tapping away on a typewriter as a paralegal working her way through college. My mother was tall, redhead, fair skin. And in those days, as you know so well, we're talking the 40s and 50s, there was only black and white photography. Mm-hmm. So no one ever knew she had red hair. And he offered her, you know, some money to help her get through college and beyond. And she began to model about the same time as Sid Charisse and other people. And I remember listening to stories and back and forth. She never had to do anything much. She was one of those natural beauties. And I was always fascinated with this from the beginning, and especially since our home had so many of her pictures. This is a little before your time. So when I saw this, I remember what she would always say. You know, she never had to try to be beautiful. She was naturally beautiful. She never, you know, she just sort of went along with the times in makeup and hair.
Yeah.
But, you know, flash forward quite a few years here. You know, we now have a confusion out there. Too thin, curvy, what? Back and forth. And you went ahead and you put together a modeling agency where you did something radical. And that is, you encouraged your models to maintain a healthy weight and a healthy attitude, take care of themselves financially, emotionally, and physically. And I just congratulate you for that, because I never heard of that.
Thank you so much.
Tell us about that. Well, tell us about it.
The story started in Milan, actually, before I moved to Sweden. And in those days, I had my studio underneath one of the biggest model agencies in Italy. And so I saw what was going behind the scenes, so to speak, in a model agency and in the modeling industry. And it was not really something that is as glamorous as people think. Quite the opposite, actually. So after a couple of years, I moved to Sweden because I met a girl, fell in love, et cetera, and she had a model agency in those days that she had to close down and asked me to go in partnership with her. And I accepted on certain conditions, which was, okay, I'm not going to go into another story, which was where we created our TV program and fashion magazine, et cetera, out of nothing. But my main concern was actually to make sure that the models had a healthy environment to start their careers and grow their careers. And we started even before scouting the first models. We're taking contact with legal advisors and financial advisors and people to take that knew more about dieting than I did, to make sure that there were people supporting our future models. So we had this team of people around us, not employed by the agency, but professionals that we could call at any time. And that's where we were starting. And the first thing that I did when we were taking a new model in was to actually meet the model, boy or girl, with their parents. And the first thing that I did was actually to paint the darkest picture of the modeling industry that there could be, which is actually the truth. And not to scare them away, but just to tell them what is. Because what I saw in the other model agencies is that they try and paint a nice, flowery picture to the families, and then everybody gets disappointed. So I wanted the family and the models to know what they were going into, but also at the same time to know that they had that we had their back. So we told them about everything about the drugs and that are involved in the industry, and we told them also that a lot of the agencies, especially in Milan and Paris, our agencies that demand the models to lose a lot of weight, which we were totally against, and and all those things. So we asked them basically to have a tight contact with us whenever anything came up, and we would have their back. So that's how it all started.
I just think that is amazing, because quite frankly, because of both my mother and the number of people I've known in the business. It's just been the opposite from what your approach was, which was basically to use these
people. Yeah, I know.
It's just a terrible usury. And of course, now that we have all the hashtag Me Too and all the rest of it going on, we're becoming so much more aware of this usury and this issue, right? And I was so welcoming of your entire approach. I can't be, more thankful. My mother used to tell me stories, and about the starvation and, the kind of abuse and back and forth. Being the way she was, she didn't take abuse from anybody. But I'm just saying, it was not pretty. You talk about, here's a direct quote from you. I want people to understand the true depth of their beauty. Your appeal, your greatness extends far beyond the way you look. And from all of your decades of experience in the fashion industry, you believe that there are five qualities far more beautiful than skin deep attractiveness. And I loved these.
Absolutely.
Let's go with the first one. Vulnerability. What does that mean?
Well, vulnerability is basically having your barriers down. So when you have your barriers down and you're vulnerable, you don't have anything to protect. You don't have anything to argue against. You don't have anything to hide yourself behind. And that's when your true beauty really starts to shine through in everything that you are, basically. So this vulnerability is the first step, is the first quality, I think, to beauty that is far, far deeper than skin deep.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Well, I would love everyone to go to your website, which is Belluso, BellusoUSO.com. And what I did was I scrolled down in your gallery, and you have everything from fashion to beauty, lifestyle, portraits. And, yep. You know, as I look at these extraordinary pictures you took, I mean, they're really breathtaking. I could see the vulnerability.
You.
I could really see the vulnerability. Yeah. Actually, I can see all of this. And, you know, let me ask you just a quick question. When you have someone who you are taking a picture of, right, who you're photographing or videotaping for that matter, how do you help them become more vulnerable? You know, you're the person in charge. How do you do that?
That's my little trick. And Pamela, I really hope
that
we'll meet and I'll take your picture.
Well, heck,
exactly
come on
I mean.
Down,
what
you know.
I'll come down.
No, but seriously, that, how do you get someone, you know, most people freeze in front of the camera and they become so self-conscious, you know?
I know. The first thing is that we have a perception of ourselves, which is actually the opposite of who other people see. So when you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning, you automatically think that that is you, when in fact that is the opposite image of you. It's a mirror image of you. So already there, we have something that is not quite right. So when you look at yourself in the mirror, it's not the same as what I see in you.
So you have a different set of eyes on all of this. You're seeing beyond
that. Totally. And the other thing that I do is that I do a little exercise with people that I have in front of my camera for the first time. And I ask them, now it's a little bit hard to show you on radio, but which is why I'm proposing to take your picture so you actually get to experience it.
All right.
But if you look in the camera, yes, you can. If you look in the camera and you stop your eyes inside the camera itself, you get a look that is very, very shallow. And that's what a lot of people tend to do. But if you actually look beyond the camera, as if you were staring at an object which is maybe 100 kilometers away, 1,000 kilometers away, as far away as you can possibly think, then all of a sudden, first of all, your eyes get a much deeper and more intense look. But that is actually opening up your vulnerability because you're not putting, energetically, you're not putting on any shield when you're doing that. And when you do that, you also reach a space, and I talk to the models and the people in general that I photograph, trying to invite them to reach a space that is totally their own, where there is no judgment of themselves especially or anything else, and where they feel totally at comfort. So it's a really yummy space that they reach. And once they reach that space, the camera becomes totally insignificant. And that's the starting point of a good shoot.
Wow. You know, I've spent many years in front of the camera, whether I liked it or not. I remember my mom's famous last words were, "Oh, I'm so happy, honey, that you don't have to have been stuck in front of the camera the way I did." Well, turns out I ended up doing television for years and, you know, on and on. I've been photographed God knows how many times. I wish to God it was you and not these other people. But regardless, I'm just laughing. But, you know, there's something that's also interesting here, too. You know, being photographed is a real mind-body experience. I mean, it really takes you places, just as you said so beautifully, looking beyond the camera. There are a couple things that come to mind. One is that... you know, some people who you think are going to look great on camera don't. And some people who you swear will look terrible, you know, look phenomenal on camera because they have such iconic features. So they may not be the, you know, definition of the most gorgeous cheekbones, but there's something unbelievable about them that blows your socks off. So it's there's a lot of assumptions that are not true, you know, in a big way. And
yes.
I think the other piece is looking beyond the camera. is extraordinary. That's a beautiful way to put it, because this way you do develop your own space, and you kind of blow off the camera like it's not even there, right?
Absolutely. And I think that this theory of being photogenic or not, I actually think it's a little bit misinterpreted, because like you say, if we think of people that maybe don't have certain features or whatever, I mean, I started doing portraits of non-famous people only a year ago, because everybody was asking me to take their pictures. And then finally I gave in, and I actually loved taking private portraits and private photo sessions. And I was a little bit thinking about this when I started doing this, that people are judging themselves so much. I don't have that type of jaw. I have a big nose. I have this, I have that. And all of that really, really does not matter at all. If you do this, if you start by doing this little exercise that I just told you about, then you really let your true, true beauty come through. And no matter what, any features you may have, you really will look absolutely gorgeous in a picture. And that's where it really boils down to. Because if we look at the skin deep beauty of what is defined by the beauty magazines, the fashion magazines, et cetera, well, you know, what is fashionable or good looking today? You look at it in 10, 15, 20, 25 years' time, and it's going to be really ugly. And it's the same as if you think of, you know, if you think back 20 years, well, it was not very pretty either. But that is, you know, what we're being fed every day. And but if we go beyond that, and that is really down to the photographer that is taking the picture, and unfortunately not many are actually working in this way, and that's why I'm going around the world actually facilitating classes for photographers to bring them into this space in order to bring their own models into the same space. So, yeah, I'm trying to change the world. but when they do bring their subject into this space, then all of a sudden you will notice that there are pictures of people that do not have these features that are in fashion today, but they look absolutely gorgeous. And that's when they're really being vulnerable, they're being authentic, and all the other qualities that I mentioned that we will probably talk about now.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So we talked about vulnerability. I have a funny feeling I could talk to you for, I don't know, 8 hours. So vulnerability, the next one. Oh, I love authenticity. What the heck does that mean?
Well, authenticity is to be you. It's to be you regardless what anybody else thinks, regardless how anybody chooses to judge you. And I started off as a teenager in London, and I was one of the first punks in the world. And one thing as a punk, you know, what we really wanted to be was authentic and to be ourselves and not to listen to anybody else's point of view. Then it changed and got into other things, but fine. But I still am stuck with that thing of being myself and really not caring what people think of me. And they can judge me all they want in good or bad ways. I don't care. But I choose to be me no matter what. And if you think of the divas of Hollywood in the golden era, and we think of a diva, and what is a diva? A diva is basically somebody that can play with all sorts of energies, because the diva knows that she has access to all the energies, as we all do, in order to obtain what she wants. To give an example, most of the divas in Hollywood had in their contracts they had to be lit with a special light called a Fresnel. And if the Fresnel was not on set, the diva had a million different choices to react to this. So, and two of these were, the first one could be that she would just look around, see that the Fresnel light was not on set, and she would walk away without saying a word to anybody, leaving a whole film crew there standing without knowing why she left the set. The other alternative, one of the other choices, would be to kick up a fuss, start screaming and shouting, and to be what today we know as being a diva, until she actually got the Fresnel lens on set. And after kicking up that fuss on set, well, maybe the role that she had to play in the film would actually be the sweet little girl. And she wouldn't have any problems switching from one industry to the other. So the thing of being authentic is also knowing that you have access to any single energy out there. So if required, I can be a really angry person if that is required. But I choose not to be. I choose to be kind. I choose kindness. I choose to be gentle. I choose all those things. But if required, I know that I have access to all those energies.
I love it. I love the way you've looked at this. You know, just being you. Here's a little issue. So many people are too busy being someone who they think they should be, and have never really sat back and really given themselves credit for who they are, which takes us to number three, which is wonderful, nonconformity. Oh my God. You know, the famous models, just have something like, for instance, Lauren Hutton had the space between her front teeth. And, you know, she was told stick a tooth there or something.
And she said, I actually did meet her.
Oh, she's fabulous. And I remember I actually met her.
Fabulous.
And she told me the story. And she said, there's just no way I'm filling that void, as it were. And she had quite the attitude. And I loved it. And actually, people remembered her because of the space between her teeth. You know?
Yeah. Exactly. And Lauren Hutton, and if you look at Chrissy Turlington looked like an alien according to the fashion that was in that period. But why was she so successful apart from actually being vulnerable, being authentic, and being not buying into the conformity of society? That she was being herself. I had the luck of shooting her, and she was amazing to work with. And all the
when she got into her yoga and ended up on the front cover of like either Newsweek or Time magazine, and really got into that authenticity and nonconformity, you know, with what she really believed. That was amazing, which also takes us to number four, which is non-pretentiousness. And it says that believe that there is never any need for exaggeration or being, you know, someone who has to use hyperbole. You know, your beauty speaks for itself. So there's no need to have to do that. And then that takes us to the final one, which is, you know, the courage to choose what's best for you. Now, you said that you recalled a dark period in your life. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, it was a period when I was going through a divorce. I was also going through almost a bankruptcy of one of the companies that I had. And I was tired of my model agency because although I was doing all this work for the models, the competition, and I was finding some fantastic models. I mean, I had Eileen Ford coming to Stockholm once just to meet me for one particular model that I was representing to ask me to represent her in the States. And I said no in those days. But the competition was really at me because I was finding these girls and treating them well. So they were trying to, you know, play the dirty games of the model industry, basically, which is why I decided to just let it go. Eventually, I actually gave my model agency away to one of my competitors because I was just fed up. I just could not. I saw that I tried to do something good in a market that is totally rotten from the ground up. So I was in this dark period where I really thought that all these things were coming at me. And the thing is that, and I actually was one night I was in the street walking my little dog, and I was totally depressed, and my son was upstairs with his mother, my ex-wife, and I was thinking, okay, so I've had enough of all this. Either I go left, I jump from the bridge, or I go right, and I ask him to just lock me up in a mental institution, which is what I chose. So I went upstairs, left the dog, and that's what I told my ex-wife. I said, listen, I'm going to the clinic, and I'm going to ask them to lock me in because we have a kid, and I'm not going to be selfish about this. So I was, I actually went in, and I was in there for a couple of months, and I told them not to let me out. And my brother and my sister, my brother lives in Rome, my sister lives in the south of France, and they're both totally worried about me, and they flew over to Stockholm to see me. And my brother, walks into this this space where he says that he didn't know what he was walking into, but well, I have another theory about that, but that's probably for another call. And he bumped into an Access Consciousness facilitator, Miss Edegren. And that's how I discovered Access Consciousness, basically. And I did my first session, which was a bars session. And I realized there that I was making certain choices because I was actually tired of the previous situation that I had. And I also realized that everything that was going on in my life that I thought was actually happening to me, it was actually something that I had chosen. So everything in life is a matter of choice. So just as I realized that I had a choice to actually go through the divorce, go through these giving the model agency away, going through almost a bankruptcy and all this thing, I also realized that I had a choice to rebuild my life exactly as I wanted it. And that's exactly what I did. So I started creating my life. And within 6 months after that realization, I started to travel the world again, as I did before those that dark period, but in a bigger way. Because one evening, the way it happened was really, really amazing, was that I was having dinner with a couple of friends, and they have a habit of having at least one really nice holiday a month, even if it's a couple of days. But they might go on a cruise for a week, or they might go to the south of France for a couple of days or whatever. But they do something nice and yummy for themselves once a month. So we're having dinner, and they're showing me pictures of a cruise that they were on. And I'm not a jealous person, so I was not envious of their holiday pictures. But what came into me was like, wow, I haven't been doing that for ages. I mean, I've been traveling since I was a little kid. My father was a diplomat, so we've been traveling all, you know, since I was born, basically, and I carried on as a photographer. And but through that dark era, I was not traveling, and I hadn't been traveling for, well, almost 2 years. And I thought, well, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to travel the world. I'm going to visit places where I've never been to before, and I'm going to do this with photography, and I'm going to be doing this by inspiring people to choose more for themselves and to take photography in a totally different way. And 6 months later, I got a phone call from this lighting company, which is one of the biggest in the world, Profoto, and they asked me to come in, and I became their face out, and they started calling me the Light Shaper. Silly name, but that happened. And I started creating this future, this amazing future that I have today, present, future.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just listening to you and I'm saying to myself, what a hell of a life. I mean, my God, you've had an amazing journey. But you see, if someone were to say, all right, we're going to be talking about redefining beauty, I'm going to listen to you before I listen to somebody else. You know, you've had 30 years in the business. You've photographed some of the most famous faces around. You have a heart and soul about you in your photography that I think is a rarity. It's unique and it's amazing. And now in this next chapter of your life, you're taking on Access Consciousness. You're looking at a redefinition of beauty, looking at your five elements: vulnerability, authenticity, nonconformity, non-pretentiousness, and the courage to choose what's best for you. All I can say is that sign me up, you know, and I think that you need to, I think everyone out there needs to understand, you know, how they can link up with you. So what's the best way for them to be able to learn more about your wonderful work?
Well, apart from visiting my website, which is www.beluza.com, which is my online portfolio, there is another website, which is the company that I have with my wonderful wife, Amanda, and my brother-in-law, called House of Beluza. So it's www.houseofbeluza.com. And the site is online, but it will actually officially be launched in the middle of March. And that's exactly what we will be doing. That's what we are creating, is more of this, is showing people their true beauty, how to rediscover their true beauty through these 5 points and much, much more. And also getting photographers all over the world to actually start working this way. And hopefully, what will it take for us to even change the modeling industry one day? We'll see.
There are courses
that we're actually about to propose to the model agencies. We're looking at watching a video today that we've made that is going to be on the website, where I'm actually facilitating a model in front of the camera, 16, 17-year-old girl. It was her very first test shoot. Thank God he was with me. And we filmed this. We have this on film where I'm actually facilitating her. And it was absolutely amazing. Yeah, absolutely amazing. So much ease.
I want everyone to run over. If you go to that website, House of Beluso, and that's B as in boy, E-L-L-U-S-O. Oh, my God. It is so amazing. I'm just saying. It is crazy. It starts with the most amazing video. I'm not going to go on. You have to go out there and do it yourself. All right. All I can say
And that's
to
just
you,
the start. The real one is launched in the middle of March.
All right. Well, we'll stay posted for that one, to say the least. All I can say is thank you, thank you, thank you for being on our her podcast, because I know that all of our women listeners out there and everybody who's listening has just been captivated by someone with a real heart and soul in the business, in a business that's really quite famous for not having much heart and soul to it. And thank you for being a change agent in the world. Andrea Beluso, thank you for being on the Her Podcast.
Thank you so, so much, Pamela. Thank you so much.
All right. And everyone out there, please remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please take 30 seconds. Come on, it's less than that. Rate and review the podcast, because, honey, I'm sitting here waiting to hear from you. I'm Dr. Pam Peake. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peake, or on Twitter at PamPeakMD, and you can also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and hey, stay well.